Hi, how's it, Soul Bona, and thanks for clicking on this audio sermon. We hope you enjoy the message recorded live at Grace Family Church. As a church, we meet at three locations around Durban and at graceonline.tv. We're passionate about God, His people, and joining His mission to heal the world. Please feel free to share this message with your friends and family, or you can download it and listen to it in your car or at home later today. Once you've listened to the sermon, you can keep browsing our website for info about what's happening and coming up at Grace. Wherever you are in the world, wherever you're listening from, thank you for connecting with us today and enjoy the message coming up next.
Often during the week when Mark is prepping for his sermon, he'll ask me to read his notes. And I do the same. If I've got to speak, I'll say to him, "Won't you just read through my notes?" And the conversation normally ends like this: "Yo, sweetie, that's great. But how's this going to affect me on Monday morning? Or what is the takeaway? Like, when I go home this afternoon, what does this mean to me? How is this going to affect my life?" This is normally the conversation we have. And then Mark will always speak about the takeaway, how this applies to our lives. Now, we've been hearing a lot about loving God and loving others. And we're going to continue to hear about that because that's the gospel. It's about our relationship with our Heavenly Father, and it's about our relationship with one another. But what's really challenged me over the last couple of weeks is that I've been hearing that I need to love people. I've been hearing about I need to love people. But I haven't made it very practical. I haven't made it like, how does this affect me in my everyday life when I'm at home and I'm irritated or somebody cuts in front of me on the highway? How does this loving each other affect me as I walk out this building? And so this morning, I really want to ask you that you would engage with me and making this a very practical message of asking yourself, what does my love look like? Because I can easily say, oh, I love you, or I love people. But what does that actually look like? So I was chatting to Christine a couple of weeks back just about what I had on my heart for this morning. And she said something like, yeah, it's not about the roses, it's about reals. It's about reality. And that's what I really want to share with you this morning. It's about a reality of what our love needs to look like. We all have somebody to love. And we all know that. We've heard about that. We all have somebody to love. But what does that look like? Please do not zone out now and say, oh, I'm going to have another message on how to love one another. Oh, whatever, whatever. Please don't zone out. Please engage with me because this is deeply spiritual, but completely practical. It's very, very practical. Now, I want to read the famous scripture from 1 Corinthians 13. So many of you would have heard it. Maybe some of you haven't, and that's wonderful. But as I read the scripture, I want to ask you that you would imagine that you've never heard this before. Okay. So number one, I want to ask you that you can put aside all the different translations, and as I read it, I want you to picture that you've never, ever heard this before. And another thing I just want to ask that we have an understanding of why Paul wrote the scripture in 1 Corinthians 13. So he wrote it to the church in Corinth. The church had started, he had been there, there were amazing things happening, and then they picked up some issues, real life, everyday issues. I'm talking about the church, okay? So like a group of people like us sitting here. And they picked up some issues. And there were five major problems they had that Paul addresses in the book of Corinthians. But when he writes 1 Corinthians 13, the issue they were having is around their gathering, what their gatherings were looking like. Some wanted them to have like very deep spiritual experiences, and others weren't too keen on that. And so they were having issues. And then Paul writes 1 Corinthians 13, and he says, listen, without love, we're nothing. But not just that, this is what our love needs to look like, because this is what God is. God is love, and this is what our love needs to look like. So that's the context for 1 Corinthians 13. So let's just, you can look at the screens, it'll be up there, or the screen, and let me just read it. If I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, And if I had such faith that I could move mountains, but didn't love others, I would be nothing. Remembering there was conflict around how they wanted their meetings to look and their gatherings, and he was saying, we're nothing without love. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. Now, this is the tricky part. And this is the part where I actually just feel like walking off the stage now as I ask myself the question, is this what my love looks like? Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable and keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. So how are we doing? So I think for many of us, we don't like to break down that scripture too much. We'd far rather hear, love everybody. We don't really want to take a good hard look at what love looks like. And I want to ask you that we don't use Valentine's Day as our benchmark for loving others. It's a very special day. If you celebrate it, that's wonderful. And I'll tell you the reason that Mark didn't ever give me a rose on Valentine's Day, because he said he didn't believe in it. He didn't believe in Valentine's Day. So that's why I never got a rose on Valentine's Day, every other day but Valentine's Day. But anyway, whether you believe in it or not, let's not use that one day where we celebrate love as a benchmark of what our love needs to look like. Can I ask us that? As Christ followers, we're given guidelines. We're given instructions. We're given a framework of what our love needs to look like. And that's what I love about the Word of God, because it's so practical, it's so real, and it's actually so in your face. And this week, I feel like I've been hugely challenged as I've gone over my notes, and as I've read through what love looks like, I keep on thinking, oh, so often my love doesn't look like this. So often my love doesn't look like this. So patient and kind. You know, you're on your way to school in the morning. The kids haven't brushed their teeth. They've left their stinky sports clothes in the back of the car. And someone cuts in front of you. You know, like, patience is not something that was evident for me in those situations. My loving didn't look like that. It's not jealous. It's not boastful, proud, or rude. Like, I didn't even have to expand on these things. I mean, it's so like self-explanatory. Is my love jealous, boastful, proud, or rude? Because it's not meant to be. I feel like walking off the stage. I'm feeling a bit lonely up here. It does not demand its own way. You see, we live in a world that says you demand your own way. You get your own way at all costs. You get your own way. It's good. Get your own way. But Paul is saying here, that's not what love is. Love does not demand its own way. It is not irritable. Now I really feel like walking off the stage, because I've been a tad irritable, hugely irritable, actually, over the last couple of weeks. And I've got a friend in Greytown who used to talk about the iron people. You know, iron sharpens iron. And he used to say, who are your iron people? Those people that rub you up the wrong way. Do you know that God says we love those people too? Even our iron people, we've got to love. And I've had such an experience with that over the last couple of weeks of saying, my love needs to look like this. God, would you please help me? That's seriously been my prayer. God, would you please help me? Love doesn't keep any record of wrongs. It doesn't have a little notebook that keeps everything you've done wrong and reminds you of those wrongs. That's not love. And remember, as I describe what love is, this is God. This is God's love for us. This is what he's done for us. He doesn't keep any record of wrongs, of what we've done. I want to just tell you a little shallow story about keeping a record of wrongs, because we'll get deep a little bit later. But when our son Caleb went off to boarding school, they give you a list of what they have to take. So because he was a he did swimming and water polo. They needed extra towels, and then obviously their bath towels. This is such a mother story, so bear with me. But anyway, so I sent 8 towels to school, 4 grey, 4 black. By the end of the first year at college, there were no black towels. They had disappeared. He came back with 4 grey. By the end of his matric year, he had 2 of the original 8 towels. I had replaced some, but he had 2 of the original 8. Okay. And this was my response. I think I still did it the other day, actually. But any time Caleb was going away, I would say, boy, remember, you have lost 6 of the 8 towels I sent to college. Now, will you make sure you look after your stuff? You have lost 6 of the 8 towels I sent to college. And I would remind him and remind him, till eventually, Mark says to me, Mans, you know, by keeping a record of what he's done wrong, Mark said, absolutely, he's done wrong. But reminding him and keeping a record of his wrongs are not going to bring those towels back. They are gone. They are not. Even though they were marked Caleb Pere 132 with the laundry number, they were not coming back. So let it go. Stop keeping a record of wrongs, because you like holding him to it. He can't go anywhere without me reminding him that he's probably going to lose something. So love doesn't do that. Love doesn't keep a record of our wrongs. And I'm so grateful God doesn't do that with me. He doesn't keep a record of my wrongs. Love does not rejoice in injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. You know, we live in a world that seems to rejoice in the injustices of this world. They seem to rejoice, and that's not what love does. Love rejoices in the truth. Love never gives up, never loses faith. Always hopeful, endures through everything. And the amazing thing this week is I feel like I've had a fresh revelation of what 1 Corinthians means and what it means for me in my everyday life, what it means for me when I walk out this door, while I'm sitting here today, or while you're sitting here today, what 1 Corinthians means. It's a foundation for all our relationships. But what I've often found, and I've heard 1 Corinthians many times in my life, but what I've found is I like to keep it quite broad, and I don't like to get specific. And if I do get a bit specific, like, oh, my love doesn't really look like that, you know what I find myself doing? I find myself comparing, saying, you know, my love doesn't exactly look like that, but, you know, I'm really not as bad as so-and-so. Have you seen how they, I mean, they say they love people, but have you seen how they behave? And I tend to compare. I've had such a revelation of, it's not about the other people. It's about me and my heart. This is an inside work of God in our lives. I want to say it's a daily surrendering of saying, God, help me. This is what you died for. You love me so I can love others. You forgave me so I can forgive others. And it's a daily surrendering of saying, Lord, help me. Help me live this out. You know, I've been hugely challenged because what I find myself doing is often making excuses when my love doesn't look like this. I make excuses, I'm not feeling well, that person treated me badly, they actually deserve for me to be irritable with them, they actually deserve that I keep a record of their wrongs. And I find myself making excuses, and I don't know if anyone else can relate to that, but that's where I find myself, making excuses because my love doesn't look like this. I think for me, often the hardest place to live out this somebody to love, we've all got somebody to love, is actually with the people closest to you, at home. I don't know if anyone can relate. You love them deeply, but often your love does not look like this. Often you are keeping a record of wrongs. Often you are rejoicing in the injustices. Well, I shouldn't say you, me. Often I am irritable. I lose hope. I give up. Often I find myself in that place. You see, the world says to us, or people will say to us, no, you only need to love like that if they love you back. Their love must look like a certain way, then you can love. And that's not what God says, because God loves us regardless. How often do we behave badly, turn our backs on him, mess up, and his love for us remains the same? But yet when it comes to us and people treat us badly and people turn their back on us, we withhold our love and we say, no, well, I won't love you anymore. Because I will only love you if you love me back. And it's a heavy one. I know it's a heavy one this morning. Hugely challenged around this particular point. Just recently, I've had an experience where I'm really making myself vulnerable. Okay, so don't hold me to, I know you're allowed to hold me to this, but I'll make myself vulnerable. But I've had a situation where I really felt I was loving this person and going the extra mile and just being such a good person. I was really loving this person. Going beyond myself, I thought. And then a report came back that, well, that this particular person actually doesn't feel the same way about me that I feel maybe about them, that they were actually unhappy with the way they were being treated or how they had been treated. And I found myself getting hugely irritated about that because I thought, well, I'm loving you. Now you should love me back this way. And I really just asked God to help me in this situation. And he showed me, he said, you know what, Mandy, you've put a condition on your love. You've put a condition to say, well, I'll only love you if you love me back in this way. And there are no conditions. There shouldn't be conditions. Now, I want to say, this is not easy. This is challenging. This is everyday life stuff. I often say, that's why Paul had to write it to the church in Corinth, because they were dealing with these like real life issues. They were starting to get upset with each other. They were starting to irritate each other. They were starting to demand their own way. And this is why the scripture was written. So I'm not saying this is easy, okay? I'm not saying it's easy, and that's why I said it's a daily surrendering to God. When Paul writes to the church in Rome, I love what he says in Romans 12, a similar situation to the church in Corinth. They're having some real life issues and they're not getting on so well. And this is church people, okay? This is not the unbelievers, okay? Or the heathens, or this is church people, okay? And they're struggling with each other. And he gives some really practical guidelines on how to get along with each other. And how to love each other and how to go beyond yourself. So I just want to read portions of Romans 12. And again, I feel like I don't even need to explain this. It's just so self-explanatory. So Romans 12, just portions of it. Don't just pretend to love each other. Really love them. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Isn't that practical guideline or practical advice? Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. And don't think you know it all. Isn't that good advice? Don't think you know it all. So practical. Never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Do all that you can. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. How practical is that? But I find myself often in my Christian walk kind of, I've heard these scriptures before and I skim over them and I do these broad strokes of loving and I don't ask myself the question, does my love look like this? Does my love look like this? You just need to look at your responses and your reactions to situations to answer the question of, does my love look like 1 Corinthians 13? Does my love look like how God loves me? Many of you might know, but my dad is very sick. He's a sick man mentally and physically. So he's an alcoholic, haven't had the happiest upbringing, but really walked a journey of forgiveness towards my dad. And just the three of us, three girls, we've really endeavored to walk a journey of forgiveness and loving. Okay, really loving my dad, regardless of what he's done or hasn't done. And so I had been for counseling and got help on how to forgive dad and walk in this freedom. And what I realized by my responses and reactions that I was still keeping a record of his wrongs. that my love was actually fake in a sense, because I had kept a record of his wrongs. And I saw this when Emma, our daughter, asked me, this is many years ago, she says to me, "So Mom, am I ever going to meet my grandpa?" And I was like, "No." No, I won't do exactly what I said. I won't try act, sorry, that was a bit random. I said, "No, you will not. Because do you know, he did this and this and this, and he was like that and that and that. And you only have one image of a father, and that's Mark. Dad is such an amazing dad. That's not what I had." And then I realized, you know what I've done? I've convinced myself I've forgiven him. But I'm not truly loving, because I kept every record of the wrongs he had done to me. Now, I want to say, I know I'm touching some deep points here this morning, deep in like heartfelt things. And it's difficult, and it's a struggle, and it can be a challenge. But I want to say, I really believe when we endeavor to invite God into this part of our life, loving others, we see him do a miracle in our lives. So if I had to tell you all the gory details, you'd probably say, "Oh, Chay, man, you shouldn't have to. I mean, you're terrible, you know?" And we make excuses for each other. But since I've invited God into this area of loving my dad, I have seen miracles. I'm talking about heart miracles. I have seen him. I've seen God do it for me. And I want to say, God can do it for you. Would you invite God into this area? Not just, we love people. Do we love them when they hurt us? Do we love them when we've been treated unfairly? Do we love them when they're negative? Do we truly love like God loves us? I want to just read 1 Corinthians 13 again, but from the Message this time. And again, I want to ask you to imagine that you're hearing this for the very first time. And I want you to picture yourself that this is God. This is how God loves us. Okay? This is how God loves us. Love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for self. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut, doesn't have a swelled head, doesn't force itself on others, isn't always me first, doesn't fly off the handle, doesn't keep score of the sins of others, doesn't revel when others grovel, takes pleasure in the flowering of truth, puts up with anything, trusts God always, always looks for the best, never looks back, but keeps going to the end. And the beautiful thing about this scripture is Paul finishes writing this, and he's going to go on to like explaining some more theologies and helping them sort out some of their issues around spiritual gifts. But he starts off 1 Corinthians 14 verse 1 with, "Let love be your highest goal." Because more and more I realize I'm nothing without this love. I can say all the right things. I can do all the right things. But if I don't have love, I'm nothing. So again, I want to say it's a daily surrender to God. I want to just take a slightly different turn to end off. We all know we've got somebody to love. But for many of us, maybe even Valentine's Day is painful because it brings up maybe some memories of broken relationships. Or no, put Valentine's Day aside. Maybe you're just sitting here and you know you have got some broken relationships. And in preparing for this, I really felt that we needed to have an opportunity to trust together for healing and restoration of broken relationships. Whether it's a colleague at work, a family relationship, a friendship that you know is just not right. And for many of us, maybe our hands are tied. There's nothing you can actually really do about it besides trust God to take care of it. I really felt we needed to pray into that today and just trust together for restoration of broken relationships. And I'm trusting for restoration of a broken friendship that a friend of mine lives in Greytown. And I've lost hope over the past year, but I've got renewed hope that I can stand and ask God again, "God, would you restore this broken friendship. I'm trusting God for that. For some of you, maybe you feel like I've asked so many times. Maybe you've just lost hope that this friendship, this working relationship, this love relationship will never be restored. Can I ask that we would trust together for that restoration? Because I believe God does heal hurt, broken relationships. I really believe that. And I can't lose hope. I have at times where I've lost hope that I could ever have healing for that. But I want to say that God is so faithful in bringing me back to the place to say, Mandy, trust. Trust me to bring restoration. So can the music team come up? And sweetie, can you, Mark's just going to pray for us. So we've heard about, we've all got somebody to love and what our love needs to look like. But we just want to spend a moment for those of us that are maybe struggling with a broken relationship and friendship. And the reason I've asked Mark to come up, because I'm going to stand and trust God for that restoration of that broken friendship. So if you find yourself in a place, and you know, as I've been speaking, you know, there's a broken relationship that I need to trust God to bring healing. Will you stand with me? And Mark's just going to pray for us. And when we've finished, we're going to end off with just a praise song to God, because we know it's all about Him and what He can do. And as we stand, we're trusting together, guys. Let's let faith rise in you for that broken relationship that cuts you deep and often brings sadness into your heart. Let's trust together for restoration.
I think this touches into so many of our lives, and let's just agree together for what God's going to do. So let's pray. Father, I thank you. As we stand, Lord, we stand by faith. Because as Mans has reminded us, we need to say help. Lord, would you help us to love with the love that you've loved us with? Would you help us to go beyond who we are in our own natural strength? Lord, even those that we don't really want to love, but we know we need to love, would you give us courage? And I pray this morning for an increased boldness and increased courage in all of our hearts, Lord, to love unconditionally, to love because you've loved us, and because we have you, we have love, and Lord, that love has no limits. And as we stand together this morning, Lord, we represent all sorts of pains and regrets and disappointments. Lord, we represent on human terms hopelessness in some regards, but in you there's a hope. Lord, I thank you that as we stand, Lord, we know that we're in agreement with you, because this is your desire. This is your heart. And you've said, Lord Jesus, that if we ask anything in your name, Lord, when we ask anything in your name, agreeing with you, we know that you hear, and not only that you hear, but that you respond. And so, Lord, I want to pray for those that are standing who are hurt right now. Would you bring healing? Would you bring healing just because we have made a decision to love anyway? Lord, would you just bring a peace and a comfort into those who need peace and comfort this morning? Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you that you'd give us wisdom and grace, that we would not just love in our head, but Lord, that we would practically know how to act when we go out of this place, that we would know who we need to visit, we'd know whether we need to send a letter, that we'd know how to release in our hearts what needs to be released, that our love may be received by others. We thank you for that. And so, Lord, we want to pray for your blessing right now and your favor upon every single person standing here. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to encourage you to be real practical and to be bold in what God stirred in your heart. And whatever you feel the Lord's leading you to do, do it with freedom, not worrying about the response, but knowing that you honor God and that you're in agreement with Him in whatever that response may be. Now, we're going to sing one last song and just celebrate the love of God and celebrate the decision that we've made. And if, again, I want to say, if I haven't met you yet, I'd love to meet you. We'll be waiting at the front. The Paradigm guys, won't you come and stand on this side? But can we sing and just, don't worry about the person next to you. Let's really just bless God with the way we respond to Him now. Thanks, Christine.